Good afternoon, I'm Kathy Lewis. With 7 weeks until the election, the polls are fast and furious, especially in battleground states. As we get closer to the election, we're opening the phones. No guests, just you, letting us know what you're thinking about what you're hearing and seeing. Have you heard anything that's changed your mind? If you're undecided, what would it take to help you make a decision? Both campaigns are concerned about votes that may go to third-party candidates. We'd love to hear from you today if you plan to vote for someone other than a Democrat or a Republican. Get your calls in early. Let's talk about it after this news from NPR. Good afternoon, I'm Kathy Lewis. We are at 6 minutes past the hour on a drizzly Wednesday afternoon. Can you believe it? This election that seemed like it would never end will wrap up for good or ill about 7 weeks from now. All eyes on the battleground states, and we have a boatload of questions for you today. We are actually offering you the opportunity to be our guest today. No guests in the studio, no guest on the phone. It's all about you today. So here are some of our questions. Are you more likely to focus on a candidate's platform or their personality? If you're focused on issues, is there one that really has your attention? If you are not happy with your party's choice, how will you cast your vote? And turning to social media, where I suspect no minds have ever been changed, have you unfriended anyone or withdrawn from social media in this political season? Maybe you're voting for the first time. What do you make of the media coverage of this campaign? Give us a call, 440-2665, 1-800-940-2240. Of course, you can also post on our Facebook page as well. We have a boatload of questions, and speaking of boatloads, we practically needed boats this morning and for the last day or so to get around Hampton Roads. We are glad to have Deidre Tate with us today, who's a meteorologist with Wavy TV10's Super Doppler 10 team. Deidre Tate, thank you so much for being with us today. Really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure.
So what in the world is going on? I mean, I knew we were going to have rain. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people woke up for surprising news that the schools were first on delay and then many of them closed. What are we forecasting for later this afternoon and tomorrow? When will this end?
Well, eventually it's going to all start to taper off as we head towards tomorrow morning. But really, we're just dealing with the remnants of Julia. It's not Julia. It's not a tropical system at all, but a lot of the tropical moisture from that system has lingered. Plus, we have a stalled front in place. And the way patterns work for our area, or just in general across the world, is that the jet stream tends to move things from west to east, especially in the northern hemisphere. And for us, we have this closed low. It's kind of set apart from the jet stream right now. So this upper level feature is sitting over us and not really pushing the remnants of Julia and this front out of here. So we're just stuck in this pattern. But again, by tomorrow, we're going to start to see an improvement. Still scattered showers in the forecast for your Thursday, but not going to be as soggy as what we've seen. And then by Friday, we should have some peaks of sun and your weekend looks much, much better.
Oh. Nice. Now, I know we have high tide at 1:53 today. Do you anticipate, I think that's probably one of the reasons a lot of systems decided to close today.
Yeah, because with the high tide coming in early afternoon and already standing water, it's going to be hard for that water to recede with the high tide coming in. So there is definitely a potential for more flooding. So we do have flood warnings in place for most of the south side and for northeastern North Carolina. And then we also have that flash flood watch threat, which will continue through this evening.
So I think probably school folks will be looking at the skies and the roads again tomorrow, because the high tide tomorrow is at 2:54 p.m. So with this rain not going anywhere, we may have you will definitely want to keep tuned to your radio and to your online opportunities, and certainly to Wavy TV 10 to find out about all the closings that may happen again tomorrow, or at least delays. Huh?
That may happen. You're right. Yeah. Thankfully, it's not going to be as wet by tomorrow morning, but definitely tune in just to make sure.
All right. And we should do that in any case, right?
Of course. And remember, never, ever drive over a flooded road. We do have roads that have been washed away in Chihuahua County. So you just want to just be careful out there.
Yeah. And if you can't see the bottom, don't drive through it, for goodness sakes. Exactly so. Well, tell my good friend Don Slater hello when you see him later today. And Deidre Tate, thank you so much for being with us today.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Really appreciate it. 11 minutes past the hour. So there's your weather update for the afternoon. And again, high tide coming in about 1:53 this afternoon. So you know, it'll be what it is until tomorrow when it starts to clear out, and we should be having pretty substantial clearing by the weekend. So again, our questions for you this day, and I will tell you the phones are what we call in our business blowing up. That's a happy thing for us in this world. Are you more focused on the candidate's platform or their personality? Are you inclined to vote along party lines, and what will you do if you don't like your choices? Have you unfriended anybody? Linda's on the line from Virginia Beach. Hi, Linda. You're on the air.
Hi. Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
When you had the show on politeness and such, I mentioned that some people were very upset because I enforced courtesy on my Facebook page. And I had a gentleman who simply could not help himself but use foul language and be incredibly vulgar and call people names. And I had to unfriend him.
Wow. And does he know that you've unfriended him?
Oh, yeah.
And what was his response to that?
Well, he wasn't happy. And I said, look, you know, you want to call people names? I've told you repeatedly. I've deleted different postings that he made where he was calling people names and being really vulgar, and he just kept doing it. And finally, I said, "I'm done. I don't want to be made angry by my own Facebook page."
Sure, sure. Linda, I think you've just nailed it. I've really struggled with this myself because of my 4,000 close and intimate friends, there are moments when people say things that do not meet my standard for civil discourse. I'll put it that way. And the conclusion I've kind of come to with the help of my young social media consultants, many of whom are here at WHRO, is that it's my personal page. So I get to make the decisions that I want to make about it. So
That was my opinion.
Yeah, I think that's important. Linda, thank you for the call and getting us started today.
Sure.
I really appreciate it. 13 minutes past the hour. It's 440-2665 or 1-800-940-2240. Is this my friend Rashad from Plymouth, Vermont on line four?
Yes,
please.
Kathy. How are you, my dear?
I am well. Rashad used to live here in Hampton Roads. He's a graduate of Regent University and has a great job in Vermont, and just I don't want to say where you work in case that's a problem for you, Rashad, but if you want to, you are more than welcome to.
No, it's okay. I work at the Calvin Coolidge Presidential Foundation. So.
Fantastic. Rashad has been a guest commentator on Fox News. I don't know how you pulled that off, my friend, but I'm impressed.
I know people who know people.
There you go. Now, you are a conservative person, correct?
I'm more libertarian, but I'm definitely more right of center than left of center, that's for sure.
Yeah, and so what do you make of this election? Because I know you announced something yesterday that was a surprise to a lot of your friends on Facebook.
Yeah, I'm voting for Hillary Clinton, which is like the craziest thing ever, because when I lived in Virginia 4 years ago, I voted for Mitt Romney and had no problem voting for Mitt Romney and voted a straight Republican ticket. I haven't voted for a Democrat since 2008, I think. And the reason I'm voting for Hillary is, well, I should say the thing that tipped me over the edge was the whole birther thing. That was, you know, I mean, there's so many things in the news that Trump has said and done and his surrogates that just make me want to scream. But the way he and his surrogates approached the birther issue, just as an African American, who, even though I don't agree with President Obama on many things, am still very proud of the fact that this country has elected twice an African American president. It's just horribly offensive to have the man who spent half a decade really trumpeting the racist lie that the first black president of the United States was not born in this country as the nominee of the party of Abraham Lincoln. And I think that the most important thing is to make sure that he is not elected to the White House, because people who parrot that kind of racist nonsense should not have access to our nuclear codes.
Rashad, you were a big supporter. I mean, you appreciate Gary Johnson, Libertarian candidate.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I know that was a hard decision for you to walk away from that. You've gotten a mix of reaction on Facebook from some people saying, look, if you bail on Gary Johnson, then he doesn't have a chance. But how did you come to that conclusion?
Well, even though I support Gary, I did support Gary Johnson. After the Republican primaries ended, I decided I would go for Johnson. When Hillary started dropping in the polls, that scared me, because I know, you know, Gary Johnson, whether I vote for him or not, has no chance of winning the White House. And I live in New Hampshire, so it's a swing state that Hillary is pretty comfortably ahead in. But, you know, of the two, of Trump and Hillary, I definitely, even when I supported Johnson, wanted Hillary to win. So with Hillary's recent drop in the polls, I'm kind of panicked, honestly, to see that Trump is creeping up. And, you know, it seems like to me it's the soft bigotry of low expectations. Like he's fired Paul Manafort, the Ukrainian dictator loving Manafort, and then got Kellyanne Conway and Steve Bannon, the guy from Breitbart News. And suddenly he sticks to his script, and then his poll numbers start to creep up. After all the garbage that he's been spewing for the last year plus, or even longer than that, you know, he acts quasi-presidential, and his poll numbers shoot up. So it just infuriated me, and I just decided I can't do this. This is too scary. I'm going to vote for Hillary Clinton, even though I don't agree with her on many things.
Wow. Well, Rashad, I tell you, I really appreciate your call today, and I appreciate you joining us from Plymouth. I hope you continue to listen regularly. And and when you're on Fox, I always watch you. So there you go.
Well, thank you, Kathy.
Good to talk with you. Take care.
Bye-bye now. You too.
Rashad on the line from Plymouth, Vermont. We're at 18 minutes past the hour. It's 440-2665. 1-800-940-2240. I have learned a lot about Calvin Coolidge, by the way, since Rashad has. It was somebody I just did not know that much about. And what an interesting person. Nick's on the line from Cape Charles. Hi, Nick. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I've just kind of been observing this election process a little bit, and kind of I've noticed just watching the main, the main media. I didn't even watch it. I just listen mostly on the news. But they're really encouraging people, you know, it's almost like voting for those other candidates besides the two main candidates. It's kind of like a joke. It's kind of like it's just a joke. You don't hear about, like, I was so thrilled when that man stood up and said, I'll run. I'll be another candidate. Mr. Johnson there.
Yes.
I don't know a lot about them, but I was just thrilled. Someone would have the courage and stand up. You know, there's so much clamor. These are such terrible candidates, blah, blah, blah. I really don't know them. I've never met them, but, you know, you just got to look at the record. Someone stands up and says, I'll run, too. I'll run. And then he just gets laughed off the map and doesn't get any airtime. They don't want to have him in a debate. You know, don't vote for him. You're wasting your vote. How can you – you can't really waste your vote. I mean – I just can't see the red. Like, even a mathematician, you know, if you look, you're going to vote for one or you're going to vote for the other. So I just don't understand why someone, if someone has it on their heart that they like the policies of the man, say the Libertarian there or the Green Party man, why they wouldn't stand up and vote for him? Why they would just say, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to vote for somebody who I really hate. How do you live with yourself when the election comes to the end and you see what you've got and you say, yeah, you know what? I did that.
I was part of that. Nick, thank you for the call from Cape Charles. It's a very interesting question that I think a lot of people are asking themselves. And some are saying, yes, I absolutely am going to vote my conscience in any circumstance. And then others are saying, you know, I look at the mathematical prospects there and making a different kind of decision. There are certainly Gary Johnson on the ballot and Jill Stein. So there are other candidates on the ballot, and there is a major question about the degree to which they should be in the debates. You know what our rule is here on Hearsay. Anybody who gets on the ballot, we have a conversation with. So there it is. Mark on the line now from Norfolk. Hi, Mark. You're on the air.
Yes. How you doing today?
All right. Kid? Fine, thanks.
Hey, good. Look, I'm 100% with Nick from Cape Charles. I definitely will be going third party 100% this time. If Jill Stein doesn't make the Virginia ballot, I'm more than comfortable with Gary Johnson. And just to follow up, you're talking about the Libertarian Party, who have two serious candidates. We're talking about two people who've only been reelected as governor in two various states with very high populations in the opposing party of what they govern. So you got New Mexico, which is a blue state, and so you got Gary Johnson, who was elected twice. So that tells me a lot about him. All unto itself. And then you got Governor Well, who was in the same situation in his state, was reelected. The last time he was reelected in his blue state, he got something like 72 or 73% of the vote. And if I could, just lastly, I think it is a travesty for anyone who's in media or call themselves a journalist to just obviously obfuscate the idea and the concept of the fact that there are five candidates.
There absolutely are.
Or president, right? And so when we get into the conversation, like I hear every day, and then even so disappointing on NewsHour, which I love, is that they always talk about the two candidates. Mm. They're not two candidates.
So you think that media narrative kind of shapes, is sort of a fulfilling prophecy there.
That's exactly right, because a lot of times it's not what you say, it's what you don't say. Mm. And so being a media major and graduate, I just find it absolutely appalling how people who have been trained to be objective and to be black and white, no, you can't balance the fact that that Governor Johnson may not be as in many places as Hillary Clinton or Trump. However, you can't obfuscate the fact that there are five individuals who are equal patriots that have put their lives on hold to seek the office.
I hear
and
you, Mark.
It's up for us, the electorate, to determine whether or not if they're worthy candidates or not.
I hear you, Mark. And we should note, Jill Stein is certainly one of those candidates, candidate of the Green Party, Gary Johnson, the Libertarian Party, and then Evan McMullen, who announced an independent candidacy on August 8th of 2016. He is backed by some leading anti-Trump Republicans. Mark is correct. 23 minutes past the hour. Adam is on the line from Portsmouth. Hi, Adam. You're on the air.
Oh, hi, Kathy. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to weigh in on the social media aspect and how that's sort of played into my life, and I think a lot of other people can probably relate to this as well. I have very close family members, very close friends, colleagues, and so forth across all spectrums, and they're good people, very good people, true patriots. Wouldn't question that ever. But the amount of divisiveness that has gone on throughout this election cycle, and perhaps it's a trend that's gone on longer than I'm aware of, but people have really sort of started to look at each other as enemies in some senses, just for supporting one political party or the other. And so I've had to withdraw entirely almost from social media and posting my opinions because I just don't want to make enemies out of people that I love, family, friends, and so forth.
I really appreciate that. A lot of people are making that choice, Adam. And there is some sense that what may have led to this particular moment is a media culture where we can now choose the media we want to listen to. So we're consuming a steady diet of people who agree with us. And then when we put our heads up and emerge into the world and encounter somebody who actually doesn't agree with us, we almost don't know what to do about that. And I suspect, I don't know, that's just a thought. I wonder if some of that is behind what you're talking about.
that prior to social media, I had this much of an issue. I could avoid the topic if necessary, or we could touch on it, and I could tell that person wasn't really kind of into what I was saying, so we would just veer off of it. But now people put their full emotions on front street on social media.
Yeah, you're right, Adam. I appreciate the call. Mm-hmm. There's probably not a lot of and I think the other thing is the immediacy of it. You know, so you can think it and post it. And it's gone. And so that's another issue. Adam, I thank you for the call. We have full lines. So as soon as you hear somebody hang up, that will be your terrific opportunity to call in. 440-2665, 1-800-940-2240. Amber's on the line from Virginia Beach. Hi, Amber. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I feel like I have something to say about every question, but truly I was calling because I am undecided. I have tended to always swing towards the conservative side of voting, which generally plays to the Republican Party, but I do kind of place myself more on the libertarian side as far as my personal beliefs. And I have yet decided on this campaign. I am going to be purely looking at the platform. I've fallen into the middle class, and I have found that neither of the candidates in the Democratic or Republican Party, or the other parties for that matter, unfortunately, at this point, really are discussing the middle class, which I feel like is where, the majority of us fall in, and we are struggling to stay in the middle class and not fall below the lines.
I hear you, Amber, and we know that there are a number of folks who, while the economic numbers are trending up and they appear to be doing so throughout the year, throughout the rest of this year, it looks like the forecast trends are going to happen that way. We are acutely aware that there are a lot of people who feel left behind by the renewed prosperity, that the rich are getting richer and the middle class is getting poorer. And so and this is the thing I wonder about, Amber. Much of the coverage around this campaign has been oriented around what the candidates say, how they say it, their health, the Skittle thing yesterday. I mean, none of that represents the issues you're talking about. So as you think about this election, what sorts of platforms that would affect the middle class are you looking for to make that decision?
You know, honestly, one of the primary things for me, as well as a lot of the people that I have conversations with, is health insurance.
Okay.
The big conversation lies in affordable health care for the poor folks, for the lower class, if you will. And yet we are being priced out of health insurance.
Okay.
My husband and I make a significant living, and our health insurance is now pushing close to our mortgage. I am a professional working as a freelance contractor because every company has now moved to not hiring full-time employees so they don't have to pay for health benefits. So I'm looking to the candidates to have a plan. And that's what I'm looking for.
Amber, I'm going to put you on hold for a moment, if we may, just because I'd like to get Amber's information as we get closer to the election so that we can check back in with her. Amber did a terrific job of articulating her own family's experience and her own family's concerns. Ann's on the line from Newport News. Hi, Ann. You're on the air.
I wanted to say that I love the idea of third party and fourth party candidates, and had the media given the attention to them earlier with their platforms and given them the free airtime that they did to anyone who responded to outrageous claims from the other candidates, I think we'd be farther along. However, now I feel if I vote for one of those independent candidates whose platforms I like, in essence, I am voting Republican, because if neither leading candidate gets the 270 required electoral votes, mm-hmm. then the election is thrust to the House of Representatives, and the House of Representatives is Republican. So if you want to elect a Republican, elect one, but don't think that just because you vote independent that you're not electing one. That's my thought.
Wow, Ann, thank you for the call from Newport News today. Half past the hour. I saw a lot of debate on social media in the last couple of days around this question, as people are saying, I'm going to vote for a third party, people weighing in and saying, you know, good for you, and other people saying, be careful with that, because as Ann suggests, a third party vote might be a vote for a Republican. I've seen people also say that a third party vote might be a vote for a Democrat. So a very, very interesting conversation. Half past the hour, it's 440-2665, 1-800-940-2240. We actually have a line available, which we have not for the entire show. So we're taking your temperature on election 2016. Russ is on the line from Chesapeake. Hi, Russ. You're on the air.
Ah, good afternoon.
Hi.
I'm, I believe, one of the few Trump supporters who have called in or probably will call in. I can say that he was not my first choice as far as on the Republican ticket, and I've always voted Republican. My first choice was Marco Rubio, but in the absence of that, our party's candidate is, in fact, Donald Trump, and my support of him comes from the line. I feel that as a country, we are getting so hung up, I will say, on political correctness that the issues and prominent and smart solutions to them are oftentimes being overlooked because we are unwilling to identify what those are. And I think that he would be one to call things like they are and bring up smart solutions to them. Now, I can definitely agree with most folks' issues with him as far as his choice of words and things of that nature. But I believe as he develops as a candidate and things go on, and I believe we have seen that he is starting to tone his rhetoric down. And when we hear his ideas and the content of his message, that it is what the country needs right now.
Russ, I want to ask you about, you mentioned political correctness and a concern about that. I wonder, is there an instance that you can identify that you would describe as choosing political correctness, or that, because I think there's a very interesting conversation around this phrase, political correctness, because what some people see as political correctness, other people see as an indictment of race or a gender or some other sub-designation, if that makes sense.
Let's see if I understood your question correctly. Yes, the oftentimes, like anybody, I get accused of this all the time because I support Trump. Oh, you must be racist and so on and so forth, and I believe the political correctness, that's where it comes in. When you try to state directly what a problem is or an issue, your opinion is because you're racist or you're sexist. And I think in this election, and especially as of recent in the past few years, that I believe that's where so much of the divisiveness in the country is coming from.
Okay. Russ, I thank you for the call and for taking the time to call today. 27 minutes before the hour, we are taking your temperature as the calls come in, and we're just taking them one after the other to see what's on your mind. Gabriel is on the line from Virginia Beach. Hi, Gabriel. You're on the air.
Howdy. What I'm talking about, actually, it concerns sort of what Russ is talking about. Are you familiar with the concept of confirmation bias?
Yes, but remind us and remind the listeners as well. I've heard of it, but I'm not sure I can articulate it as well as I'm sure you can.
Okay, so the idea is that if you're surrounded by groups of people who have very similar views to you in mass, like large groups of people, that any kind of evidence that's posed to be able to support an argument or your belief reinforces that belief. It's almost kind of like a mob mentality type thing, but not necessarily the same as mob mentality, where it's interesting you were talking about social media earlier, and that things like Facebook, the way their algorithm works, is meant to be able to show you more stories and things that are more pertinent to your interests. The more you click on things, the more you're visiting other people's profiles, it's figuring out what things are important to you and decides in that stream to show you
right.
more about that.
Yeah.
And the thing is that I remember earlier this year, NPR did a thing on their website about showing you somebody who had more conservative beliefs as Facebook feed, and then somebody who had more liberal beliefs as Facebook feed, and how dramatically different they are. And that what's interesting is social media as a whole kind of creates this divisiveness between people in a way that people are astonished that somebody else believes something different than they do.
Right.
And as a result of it, it has this terrible rebound effect of, oh, you don't believe, you know, what I believe, you must be a racist, or you don't believe what I believe, you must be a bleeding heart liberal. And it's very toxic.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, Gabriel, and I appreciate the call, and thank you for the good explanation on confirmation bias. A lot of our posters are underscoring essentially what you're saying. Elizabeth said she posted something on her page and said, look, at the end of the day, we'll still have to be friends. So that's that. And someone who she had previously blocked was able to get through, posted some other angry comments. So she just deleted the comment, unfriended the commenter, and says, I'm staying quiet until the election. She says, this is so crazy. 25 minutes before the hour, 440-2665, 1-800-940-2240. Curtis writing, what else does one do but vote one's conscience? He says his conscience tells him that the best candidate to beat Donald Trump is Hillary Clinton. That's what he's going to be doing. Nancy Pope writes that she's talking about the callers who've said they're voting for a third party. And she says at the end of the day, only one of the two, Democrat or Republican, will be elected. She says you can't trot out a third party candidate for president. The third party folks have to start at dog catcher and move forward from there. So she's commenting on the whole issue of showing up at the presidency. Although in the case of Gary Johnson, he has been a governor, and Jill Stein is well familiar in the political process. Jonathan writes, he'd love to see the two third-party candidates be part of the debate, and there are actually three. There needs to be more than two viable options, voices being heard. Jim writes, let Gary debate. Aaron says she's really interested in Jill Stein, believes that all the candidates should be included at the debates because Americans should be aware of all their options, not just what money can buy or what politicians want you to believe. She says as far as Facebook goes, she doesn't post her opinion because it doesn't make a difference. People are going to post and voice what they believe, and what anyone else says is not going to sway you. Anita's on the line now from Chesapeake. Hi, Anita. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. The scariest part about this election process is not whether we have Donald Trump become president of the United States, because if he does, it would be for 4 years. It's the amount of people that's supporting him that scares me. To me, I feel this is a referendum on our education, our lack of critical thinking by so many people. And some of those people I know very well, and some of them are family members that I love.
And that's very troubling to you.
It is. It's extremely troubling. I am not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I'm an independent. I've voted both sides. But I will be voting for Hillary Clinton.
Anita, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. We're at 22 minutes before the hour. And Anita brings up an interesting point. These polls are very close, certainly in some of the battleground states, Florida, for instance, neck and neck right now. So on the 9th of November, we will still be Americans with nearly half of the country feeling a very different way. And what's that going to be like? Gary's on the line from Chesapeake. Hi, Gary, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm on Chesapeake, and I'm doing 45 miles an hour on Volvo Parkway.
Okay.
But one of the things I've just recently was able to acquire a list of all the candidates that qualified to be on the ballot for president.
Uh-huh.
And I feel it's more discriminatory to not have them on if they made the effort to be ballot qualified.
Yeah.
I just wanted to see what they got to say. And it would be nice to see pictures of all them people, like what they look like. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's leisure or professional, whichever, you know.
Yeah. I hear you, Gary. And there are a lot of people who feel as you do. It is the policy of this broadcast, by the way, that if you're on the ballot, we do these candidate conversations. As you know, if you're a regular listener, we don't really do debates. We really do candidate conversations because I always believe people will tell you who they are. They will absolutely do that. And then you can make whatever decision you will make. But those candidate conversations are open to anybody who makes it on the ballot. Maury is on the line from Virginia Beach. Hi, Maury. You're on the air.
Hey, Kathy. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Hey, Kathy, I'm going to be voting for the Democratic candidate. I'm voting for Hillary. And there's a number of reasons. But I just want to express today that I'm on a Supreme Court justice appointed by someone besides an ultra-conservative or an unknown. And what we've seen in the Supreme Court, and this is my opinion, the Supreme Court has legislated conservative opinions when Congress has been unable to act. And my example there is Roe versus Wade. Gradually, that decision was being watered down by our conservative court.
So for you, the Supreme Court is the key driving factor in your vote.
Well, I wouldn't say it's the key factor, but it's one factor. For instance, the Affordable Care Act, we thought that was going to be good for the country, and the Supreme Court immediately undermined the whole thing by declaring the expansion of Medicaid.
Okay, Maury,
a state issue.
I hear you, and I'm sorry to have to run along. I hear what you're saying about the role of the Supreme Court. That certainly is driving a number of folks from certainly from both of the mainstream parties' votes. Florence is on the line from Virginia Beach. Hi, Florence. You're on the air.
Kathy, nice to talk to you again.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you.
I am upset, particularly with the pilot and the lack of play that we've got in the Newsweek story you can get online. And almost age 80 and hardly literate in internet, I can get the Newsweek story. Anybody can get it. It's about Trump's organization. He has he hasn't built anything since 2007, I think. It's all these Trump named deals with foreign countries. He even had them in Libya with Gaddafi. He's had them all over, which be tremendous conflicts of interest. We've had recently all sorts of leaders of intelligence,
yes,
security come out and saying the whole family's got to get out of the Trump organization.
Florence, what you're talking about is something that people have expressed some concern about, and that has to do with foreign business ties. There certainly was a cover story in Newsweek that spoke to that issue. So I thank you for the call. And there is a lot of conversation around those overseas business ties and how to deal with them. So we're at, let's call it 17 minutes before the hour. It's 440-2665, 1-800-940-2240. The Trump organization, or the Trump campaign, says they would put the company, which is called the Trump Organization, into a blind trust. With both answers, though, according to Newsweek, he said his children would run the country, and there are concerns around that and whether that is enough of a division there. Florence, I thank you for the call. Dave's on the line from Toano. Hi, Dave. You're on the air.
Hello. I would just listen to some people talking. You had one guy that was a Trump fellow, and he said he was a Republican. And part of the thing I hear is that people will vote party rather than country. He said he wasn't in favor of Trump. He liked Rubio. But he would suck it up and vote for somebody who is eminently unqualified because he's a Republican. It gets old hearing these people always making excuses for a guy that the media seems to ignore. Every lie, every misstep, every cheating thing with a foundation, and they just bypass it. They say, hey, give him a pass. That's all I have to say.
All right, Dave, thank you for joining us from Toano. Let's go to Justin on the line from Virginia Beach. Hi, Justin. You're a first-time voter?
Yes, ma'am.
Fantastic. Well done. Congratulations. That's a civic privilege.
Yes, it is. Thank you very much. I'm also a first-time caller.
Great. Well, wow. You're having a big year.
Yes, ma'am. It's not the first election I could have voted in. It's just the first one I'm going to. Every year something came up, got in the way. But I'm really fighting to vote this year because I just really don't want Donald Trump to be president. Listening to his speeches, everything that falls out of his mouth, I just do not agree with. I really do not like him. But I'm also sort of disenfranchised because of the election cycle this year, just looking at everything that's going on, all of the options that we have, which have been, like previous callers stated, we're being forced down to two when there's five other five total candidates,
mm-hmm.
and we're only ever seeing two. So I'm just really disenfranchised with this, and I'm a little bothered by how the election cycle's going.
Justin, I hear you, and I think most of our calls today have been concerned about that. Of course, we have a very thoughtful audience here, and so it strikes me that people want to make an informed decision, and the way you make an informed decision is to look at all the choices. And people don't feel generally, at least if we take the course of this conversation into account, that they've had the opportunity to hear and experience all of the candidates. And I will tell you, we said this a couple of weeks ago. We found ourselves saying both the candidates, and we immediately, once we realized that, we said we've got to stop saying that because there are five candidates on the ballot. So now we're saying all the candidates. It is candidly late in the game to do that, and honestly, I don't hear mainstream media talking about more than the two candidates. So I take your point, Justin. Thank you for the call. Kyle is on the line from Virginia Beach. Hi, Kyle. You're on the air.
Hey, Kathy, thanks. I was a Bernie supporter, and since he left the race, I am now for Jill Stein. And for many reasons, I didn't like the way that the DNC conspired against Bernie, evidenced with WikiLeaks, the way the media called the election for Hillary before the California primary on a day that there weren't even any elections, and even a lot of evidence that the elections, the primaries themselves, were fraudulent. But she is the last remaining candidate that is not taking super PAC money, so I believe that she'll actually strive to do what she says she'll do in the platform, and I encourage everybody to go to her website and check out that platform. She's serious about climate change. The Democrats say they are, and yet they still support things like building pipelines across Virginia, offshore oil drilling, fracking. Those things are not, those are just a separate form of climate denial, for as far as I'm concerned. As far as foreign policy, you know, I know it goes in a sensitive area here in our community, but $6 trillion that we've spent in countless lives lost since 9/11. More than the next 10 countries combined, including Russia and China, we're spending way too much on our defense. And I think we should use an ounce of prevention with international politics.
Okay, Kyle, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, because I hear your strategy and your rationale there. What do you say to the people who say, Kyle, if you vote for Jill Stein, And you are taking a vote out of the mix. The conventional wisdom says that your vote, since you were a Bernie supporter, would have gone to Hillary Clinton. If Hillary Clinton does not get the votes that she needs to be elected, you, having supported Bernie in the Democratic Party process, will get a Republican president if enough people do that. What do you say to that argument?
Well, thanks for that question. Yeah, I'm not taking a vote out. I would not support a candidate like Hillary, who is for fracking, offshore oil drilling. She's too hawkish for my taste. I would not support her. But until people vote their conscience, we won't get anything different than what we've got. It's the lesser of two evils every time, and it seems like the evils get worse and worse with each successive cycle. If we vote our conscience, let's say Jill doesn't even win, but the Green Party may get enough votes to where they won't have to jump through all the hoops to get on the ballot next time. It takes hundreds of thousands of dollars and lots of man-hours to even get on the ballot.
Absolutely, so, and the ballot, of course, is for when you're talking about debates, is all of those showings are part of that factoring that determines whether somebody makes the ballot. I thank you for your call, Kyle. 12 minutes before the hour. Great calls and great conversation today. Kelly's on the line from Virginia Beach. Hi, Kelly. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I would just like to comment on, the lesser of two evils, because I have to really search for who I'm going to vote for. And I have a young daughter who watched Trump, because we typically vote Republican.
Mm-hmm.
And she said to me, why would you vote for Trump? She said, look at him. He's a bully. And I said, right. But I said, you have to really, really carefully consider what each one stands for. And I probably will vote Trump, even though I think we need to clean the slate and start over. And I wish there was a way we could. But you have to look at, like I've told her, you got to look at every single thing that they stand for and decide which one is the best of the worst.
So, Kelly, you bring up such an interesting point, and I've heard so many parents talk about the word bully in association with this campaign in terms of what they're trying to teach their own children. So as a parent, how are you sort of reconciling that? Because, does she come back later and say, well, yeah, but I did this over here, but you said I should look behind that and think about what the person really stands for. I'm just curious how you're processing that in your own house.
What I teach her is that bullies always have underneath something that they're some kind of a pain, some kind of a problem. And they still may be a good person. They still may believe in the same things that you believe in. And the best thing that we can do with a bully is to try to help them and try to understand them. Now, for the President of the United States, that's a little difficult, but I believe that his core, and I believe that he's come around, from the bullying type comments to today, he is better. And I think I think that we're going to see a little bit more of his core. And that's what I try to teach her, is that look at what Clinton believes in and what she proposes to do for our country versus Trump. And what is the best one for us as a family? And Trump clearly has more of what we believe in.
Kelly, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. It's very interesting to hear how people are processing this election. Janine is on the line from Portsmouth. Hi, Janine. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call. And I love your show. And
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
For me, I just wanted to comment, just give my little 2 cents here. This would be technically my third election.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I've seen throughout the past, this election just doesn't seem like it's really focusing on what each candidate is bringing to the table. It seems like the voters are just like, well, I don't really like Hillary because of X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
So I'm going to vote for Trump. I don't like Trump because of X, Y, and Z, and I'm going to vote for Hillary. It's not I like Trump because this is his political views and this is what he's going to do to make America, as he says, great again. It's not this is why I like Hillary, because she is going to continue to do what Obama has implemented, and she's going to do this as well to make it better. She's done this, and because she's a woman, that just can't be. So we're going to judge her harsher on that, which I heard earlier on NPR is what they are doing to Hillary Clinton because she is a woman. And for me, I really hate to say this as a African-American female and as an American in general, I don't even want to vote because I just haven't seen anything that has caused me to say from this political standpoint, take out they think he's a racist, take out they think she's unreliable because she's a liar. I haven't been able to say that politically these candidates will be the great next president of these United States because this is what they're going to do for me as an American citizen. I have not been able to see that from either one, and it really hurts.
Yeah,
because
Janine, I hear that.
I have not been sucked into either one of them at all. And I've been watching and I've been listening to both of them. And I don't consider myself a Democrat or a Republican. I consider myself to be someone who's looking at all the angles and to see who really is going to be the next candidate, not just for me, but for my daughter.
Who's
going to be that next great person?
Janine, I really appreciate your call because I think what you're pointing up is that there are voters who really want to be enthusiastic about this election and about their choices. I got to hope you vote. I don't know. Big fan of voting. Thank you for the call, Janine. Frank's on the line from Norfolk. Hi, Frank. You're on the air.
Hi, Kathy. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Listen, my opinion is all of the issues that each candidate has aside, whatever they support, whatever they may be covering up, the issue that is going to influence my vote the most is that Hillary Clinton embraces the science of climate change and global warming, and Donald Trump does not. Mm. It's my opinion that this country just cannot support a candidate that denies that climate change and global warming is even happening. And Hillary does. Donald Trump does not. He said that he's going to go against the agreement that was made in Paris earlier this year that 200 other countries agreed to. And we are just not in a position. It is the defining issue of our generation.
I hear that. I hear that, Frank, and I really appreciate your call. This has been one of the best conversations, actually, that I have heard in the whole campaign. Mary is on the line from Virginia Beach. Hi, Mary. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I agree. This has been a really good conversation, and I had a few comments about some of the things your previous guest has said. That term political correctness may be confused with, like, personal opinion, I think, and I know we're all allowed our opinion, but the president should reflect these accurate facts, new realities, and not personal opinions. And it seems to me the president is the most complex job in the world. There has to be this policy finesse, intellect, this macro thinking, being proactive, measured approaches, you know, just all kinds of valuable traits. And personality really pales, because I know you asked that at the beginning of the show. Personality or policy? And I think that the media has really, again, one of your callers said, been biased against women. And Hillary is trying to advance some of her policies, and she just can't get a word out because she has to keep reacting to these biases, I think, in the media and that Trump possesses. So,
Mary, I thank you for the call. You know, that's why I was kind of exploring on that political correctness thing, because I think we may have lost the meaning of what that is. And it does often, I'm not suggesting that caller did it. That's what I was exploring a little bit. But it does often get used to suggest something with which you may disagree. So I'm really interested in how we're defining political correctness these days. Jimmy's on the line now from Richmond. Hi, Jimmy. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes. Go ahead.
Yes. I'm just calling to throw in my two cents.
All right.
And I've been listening to everybody talk about this election, but I haven't heard the media, anyone else, go ahead and say that Trump has pulled the biggest coup on a nation that has ever been done in history without firing a shot. Another thing is,
What do you mean by that, Jimmy? What do you mean by that?
Because he has hijacked the Republican Party. It's pretty obvious he's not a Republican. He has hijacked the party, and he's taking it, and he's doing what he wants with it.
Okay, Jimmy, thank you. I'm sorry to have to run, but I am literally a minute and 15 seconds before they march in and throw me out of the chair. So I am going to have to run, but I thank you so much for the call. This was a really interesting conversation, and I hope you heard something today that might get you a little bit beyond the sound bites in terms of what people are thinking and feeling about this election. So I hope you've enjoyed it. We'll do this a couple of other times before the election. It's sort of a Your Say edition of Hearsay. Tomorrow, we're going to be live at the Botanical Gardens. We are not talking politics tomorrow. We're talking plants. With our good friend Jim Orban. We got a studio audience out there. If you want to join us, we'll be at the Botanical Garden. Senator Tim Kaine, the Democratic candidate for vice president, joins us on Monday. Tuesday, we'll be recapping the big debate on Monday night. On Thursday, we're going to look at the world of work. We're wondering whether you're a telecommuter. If you are, we'd love to hear from you at our Facebook page. Do you work non-traditional hours? Are you working more than 40? And what about these new overtime rules? We'll talk about that next Thursday. So lots of important shows coming up, and we'll see you right back here tomorrow.